this film, Facing Darkness, I watched it with my wife. Extremely powerful film. Before we really get into the story of the film, and if you're just tuning in, this we're going to talk about. You remember a couple of years ago when there was an Ebola outbreak in West Africa. That's what this is about, and we're going to talk more about that. But I want to talk to you just a little bit, Arthur, but kind of to set the stage a bit about Samaritan's Purse in general. And for you guys, with the Ebola outbreak in West Africa and Liberia, Sierra Leone, in that whole area, I like to think of being in ministry so often. We are ministry because we are in place, and we most of the time don't have something big and earth-shattering happening on a daily basis. It's just life going on day by day. But we're there when those things happen. This is a classic case of that being the case. So talk about Samaritan's Purse in general and your role there and how you guys are your boots on the ground all the time so that you're available to be there for times like this.
Right, exactly. So Samaritan's Purse is an international relief organization. You know, our present CEO is Reverend Franklin Graham, and he has us, you know, going out and into crisis situations and into war zones, into areas of famine, disease, natural disasters. And in 2014, yes, we had been in the country of Liberia for 10 years, okay, already. And then when the Ebola epidemic hit and came across the border from Guinea and Sierra Leone, and we cases started to come into Liberia, we had to respond. We had too many relationships, you know, a decade of history there. We couldn't turn away. These were people that we had, you know, come to grow and to know and to love on and to share the message of Christ with them. And so we had to respond. We couldn't turn away. And so this story, Facing Darkness, is really the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, set against the backdrop of Ebola, where while people were turning away and leaving the country, Samaritan's Purse and our team, you know, we got in the ditch and we helped those who were literally suffering and dying at the side of the road. That's what we were called to do.
You know, the title of the film is Facing Darkness. So often, darkness being something that usually instills fear in people, they want to run away from the darkness. But you guys, facing the darkness, running. In fact, Dr. Graham, Franklin Graham, he, towards the end of the film, says we run into the fire. First responders do that. You guys were first responders in this case. This outbreak in 2014, you know, there was a lot going on in the world in 2014. And for the longest time, and the film does a beautiful job, and by the way, this is Arthur Rasko, he's a senior producer of this movie, of this film, Facing Darkness. You guys do a wonderful job of setting the stage of all this was going on, this huge epidemic the world had never seen, and nobody was paying attention to it.
Why wasn't the world paying attention to it? That was the exact question that we were asking ourselves, right? And you know, and it was frustrating, especially to the team on the ground. Why can't we get more help? Why can't we get people to respond? And so, you know, in one of our vice presidents of Samaritan's Purse, Ken Isaacs, you know, wrote a letter, you know, put it an opinion, you know, an op-ed in New York Times and you know, around the world, saying we have to respond, we have to engage, because it's going to come to the U.S., you know, and eventually it did. And so, you know, this a virus like this can, in Liberia, can travel as fast as a motorbike, or internationally as fast as an airplane. Mm.
You were the only relief agency. You and what, SIM?
Yes, SIM. And Doctors Without Borders was also responding, but they had their hands full in Sierra Leone and Guinea. So they turned to us and said, listen, can you help engage in this fight in Liberia, because we don't have, you know, we're running out of doctors, we're running out of people to respond. So our team in Liberia said, yes, we'll engage if you'll train us. So we got trained by the best in the world to handle Ebola. Doctors Without Borders, they trained our staff and those with SIM. But still, you know, our training was great. and the suits and everything was protected, but then the unthinkable happened, and Dr. Kent Brantley and then an SIM missionary, Nancy Reichbold, were diagnosed with the virus.
And what is SIM, quickly?
SIM is another international missions agency that's based, you know, they have work around the world, and they were running the hospital where Dr. Kent Brantley was working, where Nancy Reichbold was working, but it's just on the same compound with Samaritan's Purse. So we all work together. We're all family there in Liberia. When you're there in a situation like that, you have to team together. You're working with each other in various capacities. And then Samaritan's Purse at the time was actually rebuilding, building a new hospital for SIM. And then we had that construction project going. Ebola hit. We stopped construction. We put all our funds and all our teamwork towards stopping Ebola. And then when Ebola came to an end, we resumed construction of that hospital. And in October 2016, Franklin Graham was there. The president of Liberia was there. The vice president was there for this grand opening of this very beautiful, immaculate, massive new hospital for ELWA, which is run by SIM.
And ELWA means?
Means Eternal Love Winning Africa.
You know, just thinking about, you know, our Ministry of Intentional Living, doing the next right one thing, we base our key verse is from the Message paraphrase. It's Ephesians 5:10, and in the Message it says, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. And so you guys are fulfilling a mission, fulfilling a calling from God to serve through Samaritan's Purse as a relief organization. Operation Christmas Child, if the name is not ringing a bell to you, there's lots of things that you guys are about and have been for many years. But then to be on the ground, in the film, Kent Brantley makes the statement. He said, you know, what we were doing in facing this darkness, I don't know that he uses that exact phrase, but he says, we did it because it's the right thing to do.
Dr. Brantley also talks about why he did what he did, right? Not only was it the right thing to do, but he, when he treated patients, right? He talks about it in the movie. He treated patients like they were his brother, mm-hmm. his mother, his father, as if they were family. So if we treat and approach situations and challenges with compassion, with love, well, that love can give us a courage to overcome fear, to overcome darkness, as it were, you know, in whatever challenges that we're facing. But if we have a reason why, a core why we do what we do, in this story, it's compassion to love on people and to share the love of Christ. For Dr. Brantley, that was the most important thing, and that's what got him through to put the suit on, mm-hmm. to go into this Ebola treatment unit and treat people that were suffering and dying with this deadly, deadly illness. And then the unthinkable happened. He got sick, and that threw us into a terrible tailspin of what do we do? Even Franklin Graham talks about, you know, he didn't even know how to pray. Mm-hmm. But we just one step in front of the other, mm-hmm. motivated by compassion, yeah. to help our team, you know, to help Nancy, to help Dr. Kent Brantley. And so we're going to do whatever we can. Lord, please help us to do whatever we can to help them.
And the way that's, because, and I keep coming back to, you weren't an organization that, oh, there's a thing going on over here, let's go over there and serve and bring light to these people. You were there with them. You were amongst them. You were already serving them. You were already there. I think about Barbara, the Liberian nurse, mm-hmm. Who also got
down,
Ebola.
Right.
And you feature her daughter in the movie and her as well. Tell us a little bit about Barbara.
So Barbara was a nurse who was working at this hospital, ELWA. As a nurse, she was exposed, but then she's a single mom. And then so she has this terrible feeling in her heart and in her mind, because if she dies, who's going to take care of her two daughters? And daughters that really look up to her mom, because they don't have a dad. And so this was their only parent. And so this was just one illustration of, you know, of a nation of people that were affected by this this awful virus. So she's, you know, Barbara is just one story illustrating what was happening all across the country.
When we think about fear, I made a note. I was taking notes as I was watching the movie, and I talk about fear. It's all fear, but there's a different kind of fear that you guys communicate in the movie, and that was experienced by the Samaritan's Purse team and by the people of Liberia. They were experiencing a fear, and you talk about how they were resistant to help, and because they were fearful. There's a fear of the unknown, a fear of this might happen to me, and then there's a different kind of fear is the fear of this is happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about fear and how and how you saw that in the people that you've dealt with, and even with the Samaritan's Purse team, the fear of the what might be and the fear of what is.
Well, so in those early days of the epidemic, okay, in 2014, people didn't know much about the virus, especially, you know, those in West Africa. They didn't know much about it, how it spread. What was this? Where did it come from? Why us? And so they were just frustrated. They were frustrated, and that frustration led to, just sheer emotion, and just people acting out in sheer emotion. And sometimes, you know, that sheer emotion, it's hard to find reason and to understand what's happening, why it's happening. How could, you know, your mother, your father, your family member be your worst enemy? Ebola. Because when they got sick, you wanted to help your mother, your father, your brother.
You want to embrace them. You want to embrace them. You want to love on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when you did that, like we talked about, it's a highly communicable disease. They are now your enemy.
Yeah.
And so this in a culture that's based on touch, that's based on family, that's so loving, a culture was flipped on its head side because of what happened. And so everybody was just so frustrated. So enter this moral premise of the film that courage leads to life, but fear led to death. In that fear of not knowing, of running, of dealing with this situation rationally, that led to more and more death until we could get people. And Samaritan's Purse did a massive campaign, public awareness campaign, to get out information. I know this is countercultural. I know this isn't what you're used to, but please, this is what you need to do. You need to stop shaking hands. You need to stop the way you usually do funerals, which you usually touch the body. Mm-hmm. That's just culture in West Africa. Okay, you need to, if somebody's in your family's sick, you need to approach them very carefully, put on gloves. You need to protect yourself and get them to a hospital immediately. Don't wait a day or two. You need to go immediately to where people can. And so that was a cultural shift that needed to happen. It took months. It took months. And eventually it got there. So now here we are in 2017. The Ebola epidemic is over, thank goodness. But it took that long for the culture to shift. And really, but you talk to a West African who's lost family members, who's survived this awful disease. Ebola wasn't 3 years ago. Ebola was yesterday.
That's powerful. Well, the movie is Facing Darkness. It's the story of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa in 2014 and the ultimate eradication of it through a lot of ministry, a lot of smart people, a lot of providential direction from God, even to the providing of the air transport to get Dr. Brantley and Nurse Reibold back to the U.S. for treatment at Emory University in Atlanta. You may remember the news accounts of that time, and then a concerted effort right after that to deal with that. I know our time is limited, and I can't keep you much longer, Arthur. This is Arthur Rasko, senior producer on this film, Facing Darkness. Amazing film. You'll be moved by it, and you'll be blessed by it as well. The film starts out, though, with Joseph. And Joseph, I don't know how much you want to reveal about what you do with Joseph, but Joseph is an amazing story in this film.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the key things we wanted to do with this story is not only tell the miraculous story of behind Dr. Kent Brantley's survival and that of Nancy Reipel as well, okay? But we wanted to tell the story of the Liberians, what the Liberians went through. People like this nurse, Barbara, that we talked about just a moment ago. But then when I went to Liberia to shoot for the documentary, the team on the ground said, Arthur, you have to meet Joseph. He's up in this town, up along the Sierra Leone and Guinean border, okay, where in that northern town of Liberia called Foya. You have to talk to him because he's lost many family members from this Ebola virus. Mm. I said, well, how many? I said, 17. 17. I don't have even 17 family members in my family. You know, I'd have to go back generations to list off 17 family members. But they have big families, and it's extended family. And he lost his mother, his grandmother, his aunt, his brother. And he lists them all, one by one by one.
It's powerful.
17.
It's powerful. You start out with that in the film, and he's naming these people. And after a while, I turned to my wife, and I said, he's named off about 15 people. And then later on, it's revealed that it was 17. And I was like, wow, that is amazing to just feel. And another note that I wrote to myself, it wasn't the scare of Ebola, but the weight of Ebola. And Joseph's story, the way you start out and just in the storytelling, true story, but the storytelling process that I appreciate so much is sharing the weight of this. It wasn't just something that happened over there. It was happening through the team of Samaritan's Purse, and you communicate well the weight of what that did to the hearts and minds and the spirit of the people involved.
Right, right. And just like, you know, the weight of Ebola, the weight of the challenges in our life. And then so this story becomes an illustration of, you know, facing darkness, be it Ebola, be it whatever challenge that we might have before us, be it the disease of cancer that my father faced in 2015 as I was filming this, be it, you know, whatever other challenges that we think are insurmountable. The same God that got us through Ebola can get people through whatever challenges that they are. And then, but to see, you know, the key idea of letting compassion be our why, that same compassion, you know, that Jesus had on the multitudes, right? And letting that compassion be a why, a reason to overcome fear of, okay, I know this is difficult. I know I'm scared, but I need to find another day to fight this challenge because I love my family, because my kids need me, because I have an enormous, great job to do to reach people around the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if we have that why, anything's possible, right?
Amen. So would you say is that the takeaway you want people to have from this?
I want people to you know, have you know, to be inspired by that. One, we would hope that this story would inspire a new generation of missionaries to go out and to serve, to have a new army of Dr. Kent Brantley's, as it were, you know, to go out into the mission field and to share the love of Christ in difficult circumstances. Even today, Samaritan's Purse, you know, we talked about it, we're around the world, we're in Iraq right now with an emergency field hospital doing another medical response in another war zone, you know, where a lot of the same doctors and nurses that were in Liberia are now working in Iraq, you know, helping, you know, those that are, you know, wounded and hurt, you know, in this other war zone. So we're around the world, and so we want this to be to inspire a new generation of missionaries and people to go out and to serve in His name. And it's coming to theaters nationwide March 30th. People can go to facingdarknessmovie.com for theaters and tickets. That's facingdarknessmovie.com. It's just one night, though, Thursday, March 30th. And proceeds from the ticket sales will go towards medical missions and Samaritan's Purse, helping the same people that are featured in the movie. So, you know, some of those same, you know, people. And so, and helping to our medical work going on around the world.
FacingDarknessMovie.com.
Yep.
March 30th, Thursday night. Go find out more about it. You can link to it on our website as well as at theintentionallife.com. We'll have a link right there. It'll take you directly to what Arthur just told you about. Take a friend. Take a bunch of friends. Take your Sunday school class. Take your small group.
Right. We have group tickets available, too. So group tickets are available there at the website.
You will be moved by this story. And as you're talking about where Samaritan's Purse is, I mean, it so fits. And this is nothing new to you, Arthur. But just as you're talking, when something becomes so obvious, you know you've hit on something that is lasting, and that is, as you were talking about being in Iraq and being elsewhere around the world, and then this movie, Facing Darkness, and Liberia and Ebola and all that, I just came back to when the man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And what's the story Jesus told? It's the story of the Good Samaritan, and that's Samaritan's Purse.
Exactly. And then what did Jesus say at the end of that? He said, "To go and do likewise."
Amen. Facing Darkness, Thursday, March 30th, a one-night event in theaters. Check it out at facingdarknessmovie.com or at our website, theintentionallife.com. Thanks so much, Arthur Rasko, for your time today.
Thank you, Steve.
God bless you. And I got to tell you, listening, you didn't get to see Arthur and his body language, but this man is passionate about what he's talking about. And so if you can read anything from that, you know that this is a labor of love and a ministry of love for this man, and it's a pleasure to meet you today.
Amen. Thank you, sir.